picture your dog's face after destroying your favorite shoes. Head lowered, eyes averted, body crouched. Guilt, right? Actually, no. That guilty look is simply your dog reading your angry body language and offering appeasement signals. Dogs don't understand morality. They can't feel guilty about chewing shoes any more than a toddler feels guilty about gravity when they drop a glass. This misunderstanding, believing dogs think like small, furry humans, creates most of the friction in our relationships with them. We tell ourselves comforting stories about dogs. They want to please us. They feel remorse. They understand when they've been bad. These beliefs feel good, but they're profoundly wrong, and that wrongness has real consequences for dog welfare. Consider the desire to please myth. When your dog watches you intently during training, you might think it's devotion. In reality, your dog is calculating probabilities. When the human makes that sound and does that gesture, food appears. Dogs aren't interested in our internal emotional states except for how they predict outcomes relevant to survival and comfort. The dominance myth causes even more damage. Behaviors like pulling on leash or rushing through doorways get labeled dominance problems, justifying harsh corrections. But a dog who bolts through the door isn't staging a coup. They're excited about what's outside and haven't been taught to wait. When a dog doesn't come when called, it's not defiance. Competing motivations simply outrank your recall cue at that moment. Entire training philosophies built on establishing dominance miss the point entirely. Dogs learn through consequences and associations, not power struggles. Understanding this distinction transforms how we approach training, from a battle of wills to a partnership based on clear communication. Dogs are amoral, self-interested predators with smaller, less complex brains than ours. That's biology, not an insult. They learn through operant and classical conditioning, discovering what produces good or bad outcomes. Unlike humans who grasp abstractions, dogs live in an immediate world of cause and effect. They possess powerful predatory instincts, searching, stalking, chasing, biting, chewing, that persist even in lap dogs. These aren't character flaws, but hardwired drives needing appropriate outlets. Dogs are intensely social creatures who bond deeply and suffer genuine distress when isolated. Their sensory world differs dramatically from ours, dominated by olfactory information we can barely imagine, a sense of smell 10,000 to 100,000 times more acute than ours. They communicate through sophisticated body language and resolve conflicts through ritualized aggression designed to prevent serious injury. A dog sniffing a fire hydrant isn't wasting time. They're reading the neighborhood newspaper. When we rush them along, we're snatching the morning paper from someone mid-article. Decades of warnings against tug-of-war were wrong. Research shows tug is cooperative predatory behavior, you and your dog working together against the toy. With proper rules, it becomes an invaluable training tool. Your dog must release on cue, only take the toy when invited, respond to obedience commands during breaks, and never contact human skin. Teaching reliable release transforms tug from chaos to conversation. Cue release, reward it with treats, then invite retaking. Dogs learn that prompt releasing earns both food and continued play, while refusing ends the game. Incorporate obedience breaks. Ask for sits or downs mid-game, using resumed play as reward. This teaches instant shifts from high arousal to focused work, transferring to real situations where excitement threatens control. Hide-and-seek games challenge dogs to search for hidden items, burning predatory energy while teaching them to seek appropriate chew items rather than your belongings. Dogs whose predatory needs are met through structured games rarely redirect that energy toward furniture or the neighbor's cat. The five primary reinforcers, food, other dogs, outdoor access, human attention, and activity initiation, become more potent after deprivation, which is why treats work better before dinner than after. Dogs evolved as pack animals for whom isolation meant danger or death. Modern life demands they spend hours alone daily, a situation their biology never prepared them for. Most dogs can learn to tolerate solitude through deliberate training. Start immediately with brief, frequent separations that teach a crucial lesson: people always return. Keep departures and arrivals low-key to minimize contrast. Emotional goodbyes and ecstatic hellos amplify the difference, making alone time more distressing. Provide special toys available only during alone time, creating positive associations with your absence. If your dog vocalizes, wait for quiet before returning. Otherwise, you're teaching that noise summons you. Dogs are time-intensive, not space-intensive creatures. They'd rather have human interaction in a small apartment than a big yard with no companionship. True separation anxiety differs from simple boredom. It's a panic disorder characterized by self-injury, excessive drooling, and desperate escape attempts. Dogs with separation anxiety fear both abandonment and your return, having learned that destroyed items predict punishment. Treatment requires systematic desensitization combined with anti-anxiety medication and absolutely zero punishment for behaviors committed while alone, which only intensifies the anxiety-destruction cycle. Aggression is normal canine behavior, not a moral failing. All dogs can bite. It's their natural conflict resolution mechanism. While fatal attacks grab headlines, they're extraordinarily rare, 12 to 20 annually in the US, despite millions of daily interactions. The real issue isn't whether dogs might bite, but whether they've learned bite inhibition, controlling jaw pressure to prevent serious injury. Dogs operate on flight or fight when uncomfortable, choosing based on genetics and learning history. They don't know biting constitutes a capital offense in human culture. They're just using their natural toolkit for communication and self-protection. The socialization window, roughly 3 to 16 weeks, represents a critical period when puppies readily approach novel stimuli and form social bonds. After about 4.5 months, this window closes dramatically as fear increasingly outweighs curiosity. Heavy socialization during this window builds resilience. Each time a puppy feels initial reluctance, then successfully habituates to something new, their confidence grows. These mild stresses function like inoculations, building emotional immunity. Success requires systematically exposing puppies to different people, places, sounds, surfaces, and situations while they're still neurologically primed to adapt. Shaping builds complex behaviors gradually through reinforcing approximations. Professional trainers deliver feedback every 6 seconds compared to novice owners' 20-second intervals, strategically using consequences to slam doors on unwanted behaviors while reinforcing desired alternatives immediately. After several repetitions, transition to an empty hand signal while keeping treats hidden. This critical shift teaches that behavior produces rewards regardless of visible food. Dogs constantly experiment with their environment, discovering what works through trial and error, repeating behaviors that get reinforced without logical analysis. Imagine being a human pet on an alien planet where telepathic Gorns punish you for normal behaviors like using toilets or smiling, assuming you're acting out of spite while you grow anxious and confused. This captures how dogs experience living with humans, constantly corrected for instinctive behaviors while expected to comprehend rules in an incomprehensible language. Virtually all natural dog behaviors, chewing, barking, rough play, digging, jumping, sniffing, are considered problems by humans. A puppy chewing furniture follows an instinct crucial for dental health and stress relief. A dog barking at strangers performs their ancestral role of territory surveillance. Success comes from bridging this divide through education, empathy, and realistic expectations. Rather than suppressing natural behaviors, channel instincts into appropriate outlets while teaching alternatives. Dogs aren't plotting revenge. They're responding to their environment based on instinct, learning, and immediate consequences. When we accept dogs as social predators with unique cognitive abilities, rather than miniature humans with fur, we build genuine partnerships based on mutual understanding.